Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians talk about wrestling. This week, my guest is Taylor Williamson.
Hi. Hello. I thought you were going to keep going.
No. It looked like you had something to say.
No, this is my awkward, I'm listening, I have nothing to say.
Yeah, you're a really funny comedian. Yes, runner-up on America's Got Talent last season.
Let's just say that.
Yeah, that's last season, 2 seasons ago, whatever, who cares?
Great, last week.
When Howard Stern was there, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
and you're a wrestling fan. The reason I know this is because we bumped into each other at the Forum show.
Yeah.
We were picking up tickets at the Will Call.
Can I say who got your tickets? Is that
Well,
so I got tickets because my buddy used to work at wrestling. So I had to go through a guy who has tickets. Yeah. And I'm like, I think I'm super cool. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm like, and I see all these comedians who I know. I'm like, what are you people doing here? And they're all like, yeah, I'm on Dolph Ziggler's list. I'm like, what?
Yeah, Dolph Ziggler hooks it up for us.
But he doesn't know who I am. He doesn't care about me.
He definitely knows who you are. He loves all comedians.
No, he doesn't care about me.
He is a comedian.
I just met him. He doesn't care about me.
You doesn't care about you? You know for a fact he doesn't care about you?
Well, he doesn't know who I am. He's a very nice man, but he doesn't know who I am. I tweeted at him. He wrote me back once to say, he doesn't owe me anything. I hope it's clear that I'm not, like, hating on him.
Well, he's an avid listener. I mean, he loves me so much. And he's listening to
I love him so much. I tweeted at him saying I'm in Phoenix. He wrote back saying I'm not in town. That was nice.
Yeah. He went to Jamie's show one time. She did a show in Scottsdale, right?
Yeah, I think that's
where you would know the club.
Yeah, he didn't
maybe.
Go to my show.
Yeah. Well, he happened to be in town. I mean, that's how it works, you know.
So maybe I have to find out. But then I was in LA. I was at the – so I went to the Raw. I went backstage because I'm –
Yeah, so you went to Raw, what, last Raw? It was in Anaheim. That was the week Shane McMahon came back?
No, that was before that. It was the week after Daniel Bryan, the week before Shane McMahon. So it was
right between the two important things.
Two greatest moments in my life.
What was the biggest moment that week?
I think Sheamus interrupted a match or something.
But then, a Sheamus moment?
But then the next night, though, I did a show at the Improv. This is my turf. I'm not on their turf. I'm on my turf.
Yeah. Know?
And then I just watched wrestling and I played the video game and used Dolph Ziggler. Why not? You know?
Yeah.
And then I do my show. Then the show's done. I turn around and I see Dolph Ziggler standing behind me.
Oh, awesome.
And I'm just like my heart sinks or whatever the nice way of it.
Starstruck.
I get excited. I got starstruck.
You get super starstruck.
Nice. Nice.
It's my term. I just coined.
That's really good.
Yeah, super starstruck. Because that's what I have. Like, I see big celebrities in LA like all the time. Go eat. You're like, the table next to you is like two huge Hollywood stars. Like, whatever. But when I see wrestlers, that's like a whole other beast. Because the fact that they exist outside of the ring.
Yeah.
Is amazing. They're like unicorns.
I agree, but especially if they're in my turf. Like, if I was I'm a backstage wrestler, we'll talk about that later. But I play it cool. I'm like, there's Kane just walking around. That's Sasha Banks, whatever.
Right, that's less cool because they're supposed to be there.
But it's cool, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
But when I turn around randomly in my turf, which is the comedy club, and I see him, it's overwhelming. I was like, what? Yeah. And I was like, hey, man, I was at your show yesterday. He's like, oh, cool, did you have fun? He wasn't a dick, but he wasn't like... He was
did you watch your set?
No. But it was after the show. But he was looking for somebody else. And but then I got to talk to him for a minute because we have a mutual friend kind of thing.
Yeah.
But and he was nice. But he doesn't need me in his life. You know?
No, he does.
He's got you.
He's all about the fans.
He's got way better people to hang out
with.
He's
all about the fans. Well, I know when we do a show at UCB, it's like a wrestling show, and he comes and we do it when WB's in town, and he comes and does like a bit and does like announcing with me on it.
And he likes you guys. Me, I'm not.
No, he likes you. You'll come do the show at UCB next time we do it. We do have stand-ups on it. Matt McCarthy did last time.
Why haven't I been on this?
Because I just recently found out you're a wrestling fan. It's a very inside wrestling audience. You've claimed to be embarrassed by your wrestling.
I don't know what you're talking
fandom.
About. Very proud.
Are you legitimately embarrassed to be a wrestling fan?
I'm not embarrassed, but I'm embarrassed about how much I know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That sounds like you're embarrassed.
No, I'm proud to like wrestling.
Yeah.
I think it's funny.
Yeah.
But I'm not embarrassed to like wrestling, but I'm embarrassed that I could tell you like where people are from, like they're fake where they're from and then they're actually
where they're billed from.
You know what I mean?
That's
embarrassing. But I respect it as an art form. And after doing improv classes, I actually respected wrestling even more.
Yeah.
I felt more comfortable liking wrestling.
Yeah. Well, I always think all the wrestlers should take improv classes if they can. Like, it would help them so much. Because it's essentially, when they're, like, cutting promos at each other, it's basically, like, improv.
I found Bootleg Online. It's, like, 4 years ago or 3 years ago. NXT, illegally uploaded footage of them doing promo classes and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And it's
like, I don't think I've ever seen promo class.
But no, you're not supposed to see it.
No, I know.
It is like they're talking to a video camera.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the cameras were uploaded somewhere. I'll send you the link. It's really awkward.
It's such a unique, specific skill. It's just being, I'm coming after you this Sunday. It's like a mix of promotion, a mix of like rap battling, a mix of like shit talk. Yeah, I don't know.
Did you see like Eric Bischoff said that when he auditioned for Vince McMahon, he's like,
yeah.
He's like, do a promo on this broom.
Oh, is that what he did? He basically
He had to do a promo on a broom and like sell the broom.
I booked a KFC commercial like that where they were like, hey, talk about this pen.
Really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah, thanks. It didn't air.
They just didn't air it?
It didn't air it. No.
Can they do that?
No, they can do that. They definitely can do that.
It's crazy. It's the worst business.
So, wrestling,
It's not wrestling. This is the worst business.
This business is horrible, but wrestling is officially worst business.
Yeah.
Yeah, wrestling is like the most work, the hardest to make money, the most painful, the most...
In every way,
debilitating to your future.
And then no matter how good you are, you're done when you're 40.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Except for like Goldust.
Yeah, well, some guy... I guess you can wrestle later... Some guys wrestle later than like pro athletes go.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You wrestle, because you can wrestle, I don't know, Triple H is like 46 or something probably, and he wrestles. Yeah, he main events WrestleManias.
And Cole Cabana says his thing is like, he's smart in the ring. He's not trying to kill his body.
Yeah.
He's trying to make it like, hey, listen, I can throw in the comedy stuff, throw in some moonsault when necessary, whatever.
Right.
But he does, he's going to have a long career. He's smart, you know?
Well, that's part of the thing now. It's like you see they're all injured. And all these wrestlers that come up on the indie scene, like Daniel Bryan, he's like 10 years plus deep of the indie scene, which is basically where they kill their body. So now, like, I think the idea is that NXT, you get some of these guys in the development program even earlier so that they can wrestle the way that WWE superstars wrestle, which is safer than outside of it. But I don't know. I mean, I think who knows what's going to happen with concussions and stuff, but that's not fun. we don't talk about concussions on this podcast. We don't acknowledge the danger of wrestling.
They don't exist.
So, how long have you been watching wrestling? Just like forever?
I mean, like, my earliest life memories are one is my father coming to my maybe third birthday party when he wasn't invited because my parents are divorced.
Right.
Fun, so that's a fun memory.
Well, that's awesome. That's an interrupt. His music hit at your birthday party in the middle of singing happy birthday, and then your dad's entrance song hit, and he busts in.
How did he get here? Who let him in?
He's like, looks like we're having a party. I guess my invite got lost in the mail.
Oh, man. He's like the guy who's like, I bought a ticket. I can be here. You know? But then my other earliest memory is Macho Man getting eaten by Jake the Snake Roberts' snake. Remember?
Oh, yeah. That was awesome. Yeah. All the snakes, all the Jake the Snake stuff was so cool.
And then he bit him, but he's bleeding afterwards. Yeah. How do they do that?
Blood capsules.
You think so?
They blade and they blood capsule.
But there was bite marks on his...
I have to rewatch that footage.
It was snake... There wasn't there. I mean, I don't know how to do
it. You think he possibly got actually bit?
But I think he got, for really, but they devenomized the snake and they really let him bite him.
That's probably true.
Probably.
I'm going to look this up. But yeah.
Dude, I listened to a podcast with Jake the Snake Roberts. He was talking about...
That's how it sounds, right?
That's what Jake the Snake
sounds. Jake the Snake nowadays sounds like the Godfather. Not the Godfather, the new Hall of Fame inductee.
Oh, nice.
Pop Shango.
Nice.
The Godfather is...
How do you have a beautiful wife? How is this happening? How does this happen?
Me?
Your fiance.
Oh, then I'm
scared to talk. I just broke up with my girlfriend. I'm scared to talk. When I had a girlfriend, I was like, okay, she knows I can talk.
Jimmy hates wrestling.
Yeah, no, you don't want a beautiful girl who likes wrestling. I don't trust them.
No. That's the thing about...
You think you want it, but you don't want it.
Jamie gives me shit for a lot of my hobbies, and I love it. I need it. I need her to be like, you're watching wrestling? That's stupid.
Yeah.
So like, it helps me be productive, but it's like, you know, I need her to mom me a little bit, you know?
What were you asking me?
Well, we were saying about wrestling. I brought Jamie to the forum. That was the scene of the crime of when the last time I'll ever get Jamie into a wrestling arena.
She didn't like it.
She was just eating nacho. First off, like, she was like, oh, it'll be fun. I go to an event.
Yeah.
And there's one food vendor, and the line was like down. Like, it was long the whole time, like 45-minute wait for food. And so she didn't even like have food, and she just. It was like missing the glitz and the glam, like a house show, you know. Yeah. So it didn't have like the pyro. She needs all that.
Yeah.
She needs all the pageantry because she doesn't like the art of wrestling.
Yeah.
You know.
I understand.
Yeah.
But if you didn't start, it's like a comic book. If you started watching years, that's why when Superman came back, as someone who didn't watch wrestling 20 years ago, literally 20 years ago, 18 years ago.
Yeah.
If you didn't watch then. You watch that, you're like, who cares about this guy? He came back. It's a soap opera. I mean, it's such a soap opera.
It's soap opera.
Oh, yeah. Listen, Jake the Snake, though. He told him a podcast, they cut themselves, you know?
Yeah.
So he said that he was cheating on his wife and he came home late. So he just bladed himself to be like, I got in a fight.
Oh, yeah, because they don't even care. They get so...
They're insane.
Yeah, they would just cut themselves open. I mean, that's like...
In real life, he cut his head open. So his wife would think that he got in a fight with somebody. So that's why he was.
Wouldn't she just be like, "Are you sure you weren't just fake fighting, like you do for a living? You cut yourself like every other night. It's not like a good excuse."
That's a good point.
Doesn't he come home cut all the time?
Right.
He must not have had the brightest wife.
I mean, I wish if Jake's listening. I wish you the best. He's tweeted me back. I like.
Has he?
Jake, hey, Dolph. Jake tweets me back.
That's amazing.
I get some good tweetbacks.
What wrestlers follow you?
I mean,
did you have any like wrestlers follow your AGT run?
Sure. I mean,
because I mean, those are guys who recognize what like a run like that. That was like the road to WrestleMania, essentially.
Well, I mean, this is like it's funny. It's name droppy, but it's
no. I asked you the question.
If anyone wants a cheap plug, it's a wrestler. So
yeah.
So the wrestlers who came on board with me without me soliciting,
yes.
Blue Meanie.
Nice.
And Young Bucks and their family.
Oh, that's awesome.
I got the Young Bucks mom in there. Shout out.
Young Bucks are huge.
They're great. And then, but then Hulk Hogan tweeted me. I asked him to tweet for all the Hulkamaniacs. He did that. That was very kind.
He did?
Yeah.
Pre-racist?
I mean, post-racist, but pre-public racist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, he's always been.
But you know what? Respect to Hulk Hogan. I would still let him come over to my house for dinner.
No, respect Hogan.
Bill Cosby, I wouldn't let him in my house.
No.
And it's hard to say. I'm a very...
You're a comedian.
I'm a comedian. I have...
And you're an apologetic person.
I'm an apologetic... You know, people make mistakes. Bill Cosby, done with him.
Yeah, I'm done with Bill Cosby.
Whole nother level.
That's a whole other level. I think Hogan, I think anytime somebody is, you know, the Hogan thing, anytime you record it in private, it starts being like, it's wrong. There's no way we can unhear it, but I'm like, ugh.
But listen, he's an old man. I think he was dumb. I think he was so dumb.
He said the worst things ever.
He said the worst things ever. But I'm not apologizing for him or saying it's okay. Nothing he said is okay.
No, it's not okay.
One is private. But that's even reason 50. He hangs out with Dennis Rodman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's just an idiot.
Yeah.
He's not racist. He's an idiot.
He was just in private running his mouth for a girl. He just, like, it's weird. That, you know, I think he's definitely is a racist, but also he's from a different.
But I don't think I think he's. I agree. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying he's from a different time, and I think. Look, I think all of us are gonna apologize for the Hulk story. It might be the one guy who, like, we're gonna try to give the benefit of the doubt to, the All American. The joke I made in our last show was that, like, we should have seen this coming the whole time because he always calls himself a real American. What was the subtext to that?
That's
only white people are the real Americans. But he.
I put in the category as my grandma. My grandma will say Schwarze, which is a Jewish.
Of course.
You know,
Yiddish.
No one listens.
My last name probably was that at some point.
Oh, yeah.
And it was probably like Schwartz, and then they changed it to black.
It's Yiddish for black, but it's Yiddish kind of for N-word. But it's kind of not. I mean, it's like how a shiksa is a girl who's not Jewish. You're dating a shiksa. Now it's a silly thing. Girls wear a shirt. I'm a shiksa.
Yeah.
But then my friend dated a girl who got really offended when she was called a shiksa, which is hilarious to me.
Really?
Isn't that funny?
I feel like whenever I used to date girls who were not Jewish, they'd just be like, I'm a shiksa. Like, once they find out I'm Jewish, they get, like, they love labeling themselves that, just because why would I date them if it was a problem for me?
Right. So anyway, so I could put Hulk in the category of, like, he's like my grandma.
Yeah.
He says stupid shit.
Yeah.
But we love him because
because he slammed Andre the Giant at WrestleMania.
Right? That's a good reason.
Yeah. That's enough for me. So let's get into some of the current stuff. Right now. So WrestleMania is coming up. But apparently they're doing, I don't know if you know this, there's a new, because it's like, actually feels not that well promoted. It's weird. There's another kind of network exclusive on March 12th called Roadblock. There's Fastlane and there's Roadblock. That's before WrestleMania. And so now that they were setting that up on Monday, which the Raw was like, this was pretty weird Raw. It felt like it really just like, it didn't help that much. But the point is that they're doing Triple H versus Dean Ambrose for the title before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of cool because it feels like it feels like the match people wanted to see. So like why not give people the match they didn't want to see Reigns, but they like have to do it for whatever reason they have to push Roman Reigns. So like let's see Ambrose get over and have a title fight, and then maybe, you know, Lesnar will probably interrupt and set up their match more. How do you feel about Triple H, Ambrose, in the past month or so?
I'm sure someone, I mean, I honestly don't watch all. I skip through it. I watch, if I hear something really good that's going to happen, I try to watch it.
Right.
But, like, even when I use my cousin's cable, like, cable login to watch, you can stream USA Network online.
Yeah, I've done it.
But it's still the West Coast feed.
You know
what I mean? So,
like, everything gets spoiled already.
So I have to stream it bootleg East Coast, or it's really some British channel. You know? You get, like, British commercials with, Nicole Kidman, even though she's not British. But I don't get Triple H won. I feel like there's a plot hole, but I'm sure it's
Triple H won
a Royal Rumble, so he gets to fight at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's because they made it for the belt. So they made Triple H win for the belt. Like Triple H, they made the Royal Rumble for the belt. So Triple H won. So now he's the champion.
So it has nothing to do with WrestleMania.
I know. You're right. That's a flaw. Because it used to be like you win the Royal Rumble and then you get a title shot at WrestleMania. Like, that's how it was set up. But now it was like, oh, this one's for the belt. So it's just assumed you get a fight at WrestleMania.
Right.
And so, just because he runs the company, he's like, I'm not going to fight till WrestleMania. But he is fighting at that network exclusive. Probably he just wants to also like have a match before because he hasn't wrestled in so long.
I think the network, they give out too much free shit. I think it's amazing. I think they really like, they're putting out so much content. Like their DVD sales, everything must go down.
It's
smart though. I mean, it keeps people, I watch more wrestling now than I did before because it's all free.
Right. I mean, I was excited that there was like a 6-week gap between now and Mania, like between the Fastlane and Mania. I was like, oh, that feels like a lot of time. It's good. They can use to build up WrestleMania because there is so much content. Like you're saying, like it feels like there's so much stuff where sometimes I'm like, oh, this pay-per-view feels missable, or like this feels missable. Like why not build it? And then they threw another thing in between. I was a little bit like, all right, cool. I'm happy to watch it. I'll watch all this shit. And I think that's what they know. They know we're going to watch all of it, or even if we skip it, we're going to come back.
Yeah.
That, like, I don't know. Do you like Roman Reigns?
I mean, I try to watch from, like, a fan point. I'm a nerd and I watch more from, like, a business point of view, like, artistically, too. And I'm like, it's a business. They're trying to run a business. They can't just respond to people who write online that Roman Reigns sucks or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, he has some stupid stuff, but I get they need sell t-shirts.
So you like Roman Reigns. This is what I'm hearing.
I respect him. Admit it.
You're already on the wrestling podcast.
I respect him.
Okay, cool. So you respect him in what way?
Oh, God. I mean, I think he's...
hard-hitting question.
He looks... Okay, so Roman Reigns.
This is the first person that I've got who's been positive about Roman Reigns.
No,
so I think that's a good thing.
I think...
Because people do like him. I need a representative.
He did a good job at WrestleMania last year.
He did a great job.
You know what I mean?
I was there. Did you go to that?
No. I went to Japan instead of going to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And I went to see New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's not why I went, but I got to go.
Last year we bought NXT tickets for the Friday before Mania.
Yeah.
We bought tickets third row for $90, which is
what?
Literally insane. Yeah, like and Yeah, it was crazy. And now those tickets are, the floor seats are like a couple $1,000s.
Are there legit ways to get tickets to this shit? Like I look at WrestleMania Ticketmaster, it's still like $300.
You can't give me StubHub. You know, everything's expensive.
But Ticketmaster is still $300. Like legit.
I know.
You know what I mean? There's no like legit like cheap tickets anymore.
No.
Was there ever?
But no, they'll open up as they get a little closer because they kind of like keep them. Trust me, there's tickets. It's in the Cowboy Stadium. Like there's.
But I wouldn't want to.
You could probably pull some, you know, you could probably pull something.
Someone told me they tried to go through Big Show. Big Show was told, don't ask me for tickets. I 4 months ago put in my tickets. But you think they have free passes if they have like 100,000 people?
Yeah, they do. They have a ton of tickets. But I know that Ziggler did tell me, like, we did a show that was on the Friday before SummerSlam 2 years ago. And he said, like, I have no SummerSlam tickets. Like, I cannot get you SummerSlam tickets.
I would go through NBC.
I didn't ask him. He just brought it up.
My hookup would be NBC.
That's what I'm saying. Can't you go through like NBC or something?
You know when you have an NBC favor? Do you want to use like? What do you use your NBC favor on? Yeah, use your NBC favor on. Hey, I'm trying to sell a sitcom, or do you use it on? Hey, you know what? You're not gonna give me a sitcom.
What do I use it on, or what do you use it on? Well, I mean, it sounds like you use it on sitcom. Sounds like I'm saying you try to get as close as you can to WrestleMania.
It's you're worried the, about everything else.
Yeah. Well, so, all right, so Roman Reigns, you respect him. Because you said he did a great job, Mania. That's fair. Wrestling fans do forget that. That match was great.
When he's put on the spot, he does a good job.
Yeah. He's a pretty good wrestler.
And the fans love him. I've seen him live twice. People love him.
Yeah, they go nuts
for him. It's not, who is the audience? Guys like me who are sheepish and embarrassed and who are like awkwardly coerced into doing wrestling podcasts where they can't pretend that they don't love wrestling?
That's only 90%. That's only 90%.
Or the people who are in the audience who are like loving him. Like they love him. You could say give the people what they want. They don't want what we want. They want what they want.
You think they want? I think the crowd is I think you bring up a really good point, which is right now in Roman Reigns, we're in this really interesting area with him. Where like he's definitely getting over it with the crowd. At least that, you're right. When you're there, like when I was at Hell in the Cell, I say they were cheering for him. And there's a whole row of people behind me in his Spider-Man t-shirt or like whatever that logo is.
Yeah.
You know? People are going crazy for him. But he does get boos, too. Like, he does get a significant amount of boos. But so does John Cena. Like, John Cena's a 50-50, you know, crowd but like, response.
Like, I look at Ryback, even. Yeah. I can't stand any of it.
Yeah.
It just, I don't like his personality. He rubs me the wrong way in every way. Like,
did you see his new trunks? He's now wearing just undies, and he looks a lot better.
But if you wanted to hang out with me, I would beg you to take this podcast down and pretend this never happened. He paid me money to talk shit about Ryback. I'd say I love him, but I don't like his attitude. I've heard him on a podcast. He talks shit and he likes to be a troll online. Yeah. I don't like that. I think he looks like an action figure, but if I was 10, I would be the biggest Ryback fan.
Yeah.
Everyone, and from a business point of view, this is so obnoxious to look at it from that point of view, like elitist. No, but
that's for business.
But he plays a part. The whole show, he's a part.
Yeah, but
Ultimate Warrior, can you imagine being our age watching Ultimate Warrior? But this guy's so stupid. He just runs around.
Oh, yeah. Ultimate Warrior was legitimately my hero.
Or Hulk Hogan, even. He has three moves. I love them.
Yeah.
Hulk Hogan, I would cry.
One of them is sitting down. One of his leg drop is just like, I walk in, you can sit down. It's not that impressive.
I can do that.
I mean, yeah, I know what you're saying. You're saying that he plays into the major fan base. And also, they know they're not, like, we might be, like, the vocal, like, minority in that way. And also, the other thing is that now we're getting this place where this Roman Reigns, like, this, like, this, it's almost like you feel, if you're remotely smarky, you feel a, like need to boo him.
Yeah.
They're like, even if it's not real, even if you feel like he did a good job, people, like the smart fans are going to be like, oh, we just got to boo him because he's Roman Reigns and they're pushing us down our throats. And they kind of have to ignore those people until that stigma goes away. You know what I mean? So it's like, we're getting into this territory now where it's like people are going to boo Roman Reigns because they think they're supposed to, just like you're supposed to go, what? Like, you're supposed to go, what? And you're like, now it's part of the culture. So I don't really know what you do. Do you hold a guy back? But the reality of the whole thing is that when they did the Fastlane match, Ambrose is more over with the crowd. He's a bigger, good guy. Like, for me, I think Ambrose deserved to be versus Triple H at Mania.
But if you own the company, is that what you would do?
No.
Right?
No. But if I owned the company, what I would have done is I would have cleared Daniel Bryan and I would have had him die in the ring because that would have been what's best for business.
You know, that's, what you said is hilarious. Yeah. I laugh genuinely, but then I think this is where I get ashamed of my wrestling fandom. Yeah. Like, I just imagine Jamie Lee or any girl.
Yeah. Jamie Lee, my fiance.
Hearing any fun that doesn't watch wrestling, hearing this inside wrestling talk and me laughing so much at your funny joke.
Yeah.
And then trying to explain it and then just having so much shame, you know?
No, it's because what I'm saying is this, that obviously I don't want anybody to die in the ring. What I'm saying is that the passion of Daniel Bryan is so fucking palpable. And it's so like, oh man, just like let him, like Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar, he would go 1,000%. He would get like tossed and he would win or he would lose and it wouldn't matter and it would be awesome.
No, but I'm not talking about that. I'm saying I'm embarrassed that like I found something so funny that's so inside wrestling that would take 10 minutes to explain to someone.
Oh, Daniel
Bryan's a guy and he's a thing and he got concussions, but he's so good.
Oh yeah, this is a very niche podcast. Then, I don't pretend this podcast has no mass appeal. The thing I say about when I do the live show, we'll do like really inside stuff at UCB, and I'll just be like, if you don't get that joke, like someone will tell a great joke, you should just leave right now. Like, just leave. Because, you know, it's not, so I think it's just like, I think wrestling, the only way, it's like a whole other realm of comedy, right? It's like doing comedy in an alternate universe. So you're telling a joke about wrestling where it's like, hey, you have to understand wrestling fully and have followed it for 20 years to absorb the culture where you can immediately laugh about something that's counter to that culture. That's funny. I'm saying I did that. And to you, you're like, you're in that space now, and you're adjusting to it.
It's hard.
Welcome to the comedians of wrestling.
Thank you. But now it's more acceptable to like wrestling now. It's changed.
Wrestling is big. I mean, wrestling is huge. It's more accepted. A lot of, you know, Sofia Vergara is like at every wrestling event.
I saw her, and I went to one of those PWG things.
Right,
and,
she's there every time. Like Ronda Rousey is gonna become a professional wrestler, like 100%. You know, and she's gonna bring. She's gonna spike the numbers for, like, it's not confirmed, but she just had her first loss in MMA, and like if she loses again, she's a huge wrestling fan. I just think she'll want to explore the option of being like a wrestler. And I don't know, you know, I don't.
She'll never lose in that. That's her project.
No, I don't know. She would just be like Goldberg. Like she would just win every single match.
Wait, I have a question. Wait,
yeah.
What was my question?
Yeah.
I had a good question.
You're not going to tell, like, you remember your question, but you're not going to tell a Daniel Bryan joke at the improv.
Yeah. Question. Would you, like, write for WWE if you were offered?
I don't know how I could turn that down, but I kind of, like, purposely have not, like, gone down that route. But I pitched a show to WWE Network in USA, like, some wrestling stuff. So I have entertained, like, being in that field, but as like, you know, I consider myself like a comedy purist.
Yeah,
it's weird to be like, oh, I'm gonna just be like in, like I'm wrestling now, because that just feels, it's like the realm of my home. Yeah, I don't know, it's like,
well, it does. The problem is, what the wrestlers have too is it's one of those jobs where it doesn't, people are like, I'm a pro wrestler and I've seen my millions of people. Okay, so now what? The writers from WWE, they don't transition to Hollywood.
Right.
It's a dead end. It's an amazing dead end.
Yeah, because one of
but it doesn't. People aren't like, okay, you're great. Now have done.
Yeah, one of my friends, but like my best friend growing up, he's a writer, and he was offered to be in it. Like when we were younger, we were like 23, and he was offered to be a writing assistant at WWE, and I was like traveling with him. And first off, we give him shit every day. Like, why didn't you take that? Because, like, what were we doing in our lives where you couldn't take 2 years?
No, yeah.
He said no because he was like, I want to be, like, a TV writer. Yeah. Like, I want to do comedy writing. And so he'd rather, like, grind the UCB circuit. And he was, like, an NBC page at the time. You know, he was like, I want – and, like, working around SNL and stuff. That's where he wanted to go. And he's like, I feel like that won't bring me – that'll veer me off. And that's the thing. It's like wrestling is its own pirate ship of entertainment.
Exactly.
But it's a huge pirate ship.
Yeah.
You know, it's maybe even a pirate – ship fleet. It might even be a fleet. Are you following his metaphor?
Is your friend successful now?
Yeah. He's I'm going to have to edit this part out. Because okay. He's one of our only listeners also.
Okay.
All right. No. I wouldn't say he's a guy who's doing things that are more in line with what he wants to ultimately do.
But he might not be doing anything now. I mean, but he also might have been, it might be.
Well, that's also the bit, we had this argument all the time about, like, did he make a mistake to write for wrestling? And he claims, he still to this day says it was not a mistake, and me and all my other friends are like, dude, you should have done it.
Yeah.
Do you think you should have done it?
Do you think he should have done it?
I don't know. Do you think he should have done it? If you were 22 and you got offered that, would you do it? 22.
At my thing at 22, I would have said no.
Right, because you would have done
stand-up. Because I was doing honest, because it's not, it's an amazing job, but it's not the job that I'm going for in my career.
Yeah, I think I might have said no as well because I was like studying improv really hard and then I started performing on like at UCB and that's what I want, you know. I wanted to develop those skills.
Like, what if you were offered to, like, be a manager for somebody?
I would go in 1 second.
For real?
For WWE to get, like Lana, right? Like, she's just an actress,
she was
right?
Groundlings. You know she'd be Groundlings?
Yeah.
Not that she was a Groundlings.
She was at UCB, like, a couple weeks ago.
At your show?
Not. She didn't do my show. I got to get her at my show because I didn't even think that would be a possibility.
Do you have a contact for these people? You just tweet them?
I don't have a contact for them. They just kind of, like, I've never spoken to Lana. Damian Sandow came to our last show.
Why?
Cody came to one of our shows.
What am I doing wrong?
You're doing nothing wrong.
Paul Heyman tweets me. I get that.
But Heyman probably doesn't come to comedy shows.
But he tweets me back snarky things, which is the greatest thing in my life.
Yeah, that's awesome.
X-Pac, I feel like, would come to one of my shows.
Yeah. Well, I guess you're just inviting them to watch you do stand-up, correct?
Yeah.
So maybe that's like they have to... They come and participate.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's special for them. Yeah, I wouldn't let them on my show.
Yeah, you wouldn't let them do anything.
Well, like,
why not? I mean, do you have any shows where you're not just doing like a spot? Do you have like a show?
Like when I headline?
Yeah. But so when you're that's what I'm saying, is that those headline shows, there's features and there's like a guest spot like that. But it's stand-up show, but they're all stand-ups.
I mean, if like Goldberg wanted to come on stage and hang out with me, that'd be amazing. But the whole crowd would be like, who is this guy?
Right.
Respect to Goldberg. I love him. But the crowd may not be full of wrestling.
And a lot of your crowd is like a fan base you've built from America's Got Talent. Like, would that be correct?
But yeah, sure.
I'm just saying like when you're traveling.
I mean, of course, that's what it is.
Which is awesome.
Yeah.
So they're fans of you. So then you start being like, here's my hobby.
Let me say this. You'll appreciate this. Respect for Roman Reigns comes out of the fact that the comedy equivalent of Roman Reigns fans is the equivalent of the comedy fans who like me.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
That's an amazing metaphor. I mean...
And then I'm very happy about it. But I have the middle America, people who watch America's Got Talent.
Everybody wants that, though.
No, but it's funny. I'm still jealous of my friends who, like, could sell out, like do a show like a nightclub and they do one night and sell like 100 tickets and stuff. I do a comic club and I sell out 1,000 people, you know? But, like, I don't have... My fans don't listen to podcasts. You're not going to get 3 listeners.
No.
I mean, I have nerd fans too, but I don't have comedy nerd fans. Mostly it's like moms and like girlfriends and like 13-year-old girls. And like, and I love it, but it's funny. So Dolph's, I don't know, who's like a guy. I mean, maybe like Damian Sandow has like the cool, like people are like, they're so good. Give him a shot. He's amazing.
Yeah.
But my fans are... I'm making it sound like I'm cooler than
I am. I feel like your fan base sounds like they would like wrestling.
I think like the NASCAR. I think Larry the Cable Guy and my fans are closer than my fans and like Patton Oswalt.
Right.
Truly. Like.
Yeah. Well, Patton Oswalt is like a comedian who has that. He's filtered out, but that's kind of.
And I want to be like I want to be cool and hip. I'm not though, but I love the middle America thing. I was like, why not? You know.
Yeah, but there's tons of comedians who've been on done well on like Last Comic Standing and whatnot, and then it gets you that fan base of people who watch network television and follow that and are like, I just went, oh, I saw that person, let me see that person. Yeah. You know, the general audience, but then they transition into you know, you keep doing comedy, people will like respect you more and more in the comedy circuit.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are like, you know, so I think it's a good place to be. I think it's just all about eyes, you know what I mean? You know, there's definitely people that I've in my life, I can't even example right now, where you like put them in a box about who they are and then they prove to you that they're, you know, they're like, oh, they're that, your brain compartmentalizes things where they're like, oh, that's their path. And you're like, no, they want the path they want and they get it.
I feel like my career is doing that.
Yeah.
It's like perceptions of like, oh, you're this, you're that, or you're whatever.
Right.
Like, every time I do something, I'm like, all right, motherfuckers, like, watch this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't work out most of the time. But, you know what I mean? And that's, it's exciting, though. It's nice to prove people wrong and, like, or not even in a bad way. Like, not that they don't believe in you, but yeah, they believe that you could do a certain thing.
Yeah, of course. I think that we all, anyone in entertainment, probably any field deals with that, where, like, people, where you're, there's like, oh, I want this. And so it's like, cool, aim it towards it, and then you'll, something will happen that will let people know that you are that.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I do stand-up now.
Oh, yeah.
And I did stand-up a while back, right? But no, people know me as an improv sketch performer, because I've done, you know, I performed on UCB stage a lot, and that dominated my time for a long time, because I was, because that's what I was putting my effort into, yeah, which I'm very happy about. So when I do stand-up shows, people, I'm standing there, people are like, oh, you're just at UCB because you, like, hang around UCB. I'm like, no, I'm on this show. You know, and it's about showing people, like, no, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not that no one thinks I can't do it, but when being saying your stand-up is a serious thing, it's something I take serious, that, like, if I say I'm going to do that, I want people to see that I'm taking that seriously.
But you're also, it's, I mean, that's nice. It's also, like, you're a pro comedian, like, and you have an improv sketch experience, but right, that helps. Like, you're not starting from scratch, which is nice. Like I did some shows with Jennifer Coolidge, like, 5
yeah,
years ago,
yeah, yeah,
and she's a groundling sketch comedian, brilliant actress, and but she's,
yeah,
not a stand-up. And we're backstage. It was, like, her 7th weekend ever doing stand-up, ever.
Yeah.
Not 7th. Like, I don't think,
right,
she ever did stand-up.
But she'll sell out,
she'll,
right,
write the headline. She sold out. Her crowds were amazing.
Yeah.
It was, like, perfect.
Jennifer Coolidge, she's from
Waiting for
Guffman. Yeah, American Pie. Like, she's,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, she, that was her big role, because she was Stifler's mom. Right,
but she's
like a huge SCTV, like, she was a Second City performer.
No,
yeah, right.
Jennifer Coolidge, now.
Who am I thinking?
You're thinking of Catherine O'Hara.
No, I'm not.
Jennifer
Coolidge
is on Second City TV. She's not that old.
I'm pretty sure we're speaking about the same person.
Jennifer Coolidge, Stifler's mom.
Yeah,
she's on Second City TV. No way. No way.
Maybe she was on SCTV, but she was part of that whole clan.
No,
but
she's from Christopher Guest.
She's a Christopher Guest movie,
yeah,
but she,
and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's not a Second City person?
No, she's Groundlings.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's all good. Sorry. She dated Chris Kattan back in the day. There's photos of them together. Like,
really?
Famous, yeah.
I just assumed she was, like, part of that whole, like, crew, that whole, like,
but she became part
Dave
of
Dave Barton, you know, all those guys.
Well, listen, my point.
Yeah.
The point is that
Dave
she,
Thomas, I mean.
Oh, you're Dave Thomas.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
She's not Canadian, but
yeah.
So then her she respected stand up. She's like, I'm not a stand up, but whatever. And she wanna say she was so funny the whole time. The crowds were amazing. She's fucking great. Like, Fortune Themester, I've seen her do that. She went from groundlings to stand up.
Yeah.
And like within, like, she was on Last Comic Standing so fast, and she's like killing, and she's selling out every, and like, because you can be, you're already such a pro at in comedy, just transition this slight tweak. And so I'm sure you're doing great.
So can I become a professional wrestler in that same room?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
And you bring it back with the wrestling podcast. But no, I mean, we always speak about comedy as well and how that ties in. But yeah, I did. I think so. I think that's interesting. I think your perception of what you want to be. I imagine what it's like to start as someone and be like, I want to be a professional wrestler. Like, what that's like.
I started, I would be a professional wrestler when I was like 8.
Really?
Yeah, what stopped me though is when Owen Hart died, I cried a lot. I was 12.
Wow.
And then I decided I can't be a wrestler. That, which makes no sense. It should be because you're a fucking pussy.
He didn't even die in the ring.
I know,
I mean,
he
did die
like
in the ring, technically, but yeah. But I, yeah, that sucks. But
I have a great story I can't talk about in the air out of fear, but it's a great story that I'll tell you another time.
Okay.
That's a thing for the.
I won't even try to pry it out of you unless you're saying it like pageantry. Like,
it's
you,
great
you will tell it if I press you.
No, I will never tell it on the air.
Okay, cool. So we won't waste time. But yeah, so I felt like I trained for wrestling.
What?
I did a Funny or Die series where I was training to do. I only lasted like a month and a half.
Did it air?
No, I have it. I'll send it to you. Contractually, I'm not allowed to like air it.
Ever?
It's whatever. I can. I'm talking to them now about what I can do with it. But I'll show it to you.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I'll show it to you.
Wait, where'd you film it?
I filmed it last year. I was training at Santino Brothers, which is where Ava Marie was training. And, like, I would see Brian Kendrick trains her there. I would see him every day. It was cool. I was doing it, but I only did it for a little bit.
It was like undercover? It
wasn't undercover. I did it. It was supposed to be like a series that got released, but I needed more money to do it, and I was like getting hurt, and then it was like this sect of Funny or Die that was making it kind of like went like defunct, and it was like, it wasn't worth it.
I pitched a
show. My like reps were like, I did, you know.
They're like, I guess I give up on this?
Yeah, they're like, this seems like you're going to kill yourself for no money. Do you know what I mean? I was like, well, that's what wrestling is. You know?
I pitched a show to someone to pitch at WWE Network. And then they said that it was like a show where like I trained to be wrestling. They're like, someone's already doing that.
On the network?
I don't know what it was. But they're like, I think it was Funny or Die, though. I think you're the reason that my dreams may come.
Is that true?
I mean everything I just said.
Wow. That is true. That could have been me.
I mean, it has to be.
Yeah. All right. Let's go back to one wrestling thing. Because I actually have a few things I want to talk about quick about actual wrestling. Okay. So Shane McMahon coming back. How'd that feel for you?
I think it's amazing, and I can't believe that everyone's so happy about it.
The top was, like, insane, right?
But it's crazy. Like, I have no problems with it. That is honestly the match I'd want to see at WrestleMania, to go to WrestleMania for.
Undertaker?
I'm still not sure.
Well, so that's the thing. So, Shane, I have two questions about the Shane thing. Two points. One point being that, like, the whole stipulation is that he wants to take over Raw. It's like, okay, that's cool. I like that. But then he came back and was like, she doesn't know. To Stephanie, he was like, she doesn't know, right? She doesn't know. And then it was like, oh, you didn't tell her, to Vincent. He's like, oh, he's lying. And I was still like, about what? About the fact that he's like still kind of had control or whatever? Yeah. Like, was that, did we, so they're saying this whole time he still was, I guess because he's our older brother, he still was like in line there. But then he wants control of Raw. So it's, I guess the story is that Stephanie was like, oh, you're a quitter. It's like, no, I'm actually still above you. It's like, okay. I don't know. It was confusing.
I don't think they wrote out the whole story yet. They're just like, we'll see how. If I didn't plan for the ovation to be as big. I don't know.
But then it's like, okay, you're still there. And it was like, okay, so you're still involved. So they like wrote off all these years that he'd been gone. So it's technically Stephanie isn't really in line. Like, what's the struggle? You know what I mean? Like, I imagine that they both had some form of ownership. It just didn't make enough sense to me.
Yeah.
But I was like, all right, fine. I'll buy this. I'll go with you on it. And then they had the thing where it's like, okay, you got to wrestle Undertaker at Mania.
Which is so crazy.
Yeah. And it's like, is Undertaker like working for Vince? So then Undertaker came out on Raw, and we're like, okay, he's going to tell us all that he's working. You know, it's like, we're going to figure out what's happening here. And then Undertaker just came out, choked Vince McMahon, and was like, you know, like, you know what happens when I close that cage? Like, your blood of your son is on your hands. And then just left.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. So you're not in line with Vince McMahon. You're just going to fight Shane in this match where there's no stipulation for you. We don't know you're going to retire. You're wrestling in Texas. That was the whole thing. It was like, is this going to be Undertaker's last match? And if it is his last match, if he loses, I guess it's not going to be his last match. But if he loses, we need to know if he's retiring or not. You know what I mean? There's like so much confusion.
Yeah.
Which I guess they still have time to add. But like the whole thing is that you get control of Raw because of that match.
Isn't it crazy that this is happening because John Cena got injured too? It's kind of special. Like how
Cena Taker would have been cool though. That would have been awesome.
Yeah,
I can't believe that hadn't happened yet.
But it's but now Shane McMahon's got a little special opportunity of his life, which is crazy. And I didn't know what a good wrestler he was. I mean, not even a good wrestler, but like he killed it, and he has so much respect from his peers and stuff.
Shane?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing with Shane is that he lives the McMahon philosophy. You got to respect the McMahons. Even though my other point is that there's like too much McMahon on Raw. It's like, all right, we'll have Triple H go first. Then we'll put – this is what Raw was. It's like stretching the soup. Like we'll have Triple H go first. Then we'll have Stephanie cut a promo. And then we'll have Vince cut a promo. And it's like that's the only thing worthwhile in all of Raw is like the McMahon thing. And like you guys got to find a way to have somebody else have stakes here. But it's like I guess everybody's gone. Cena's gone. Orton's gone. Rollins gone, they're all Daniel Bryan's
gone. The top 10, like, guys on the totem pole all got injured.
But, so, cool, but this is an opportunity to push a guy like Kevin Owens or, like, some of these guys are coming up where, like, the fans are into them if you just let them be. Or Ziggler, we always talk about how Ziggler is, like, main event caliber wrestler every way.
If they plug in Ziggler, like, the people wouldn't be upset.
No.
Just to make it make sense in some way.
But, so my point is that Shane was like, the McMahon philosophy is like, yo, I would never tell you to do something that, like, I wouldn't do, and that's their deal. They're all jacked.
Yeah.
They're, like, all in dope shape. They all go for it. And Shane was a kid who came in, he was, when he wrestled in the Attitude Era, And then, you know, he wrestled after, probably into the Ruthless Aggression era, or like whatever they're called. He would get in the ring and you're like, oh, this is going to be just a dumb match. And he like went for it. Like he got awesome. He put his body on the line. Like there is this bumper that would come up before a wrestling match to be like, don't try this at home.
Yeah.
And the first clip they would show is Kurt Angle like suplexing Shane into a glass that doesn't break and he just falls on his neck. And you're like, yo, this kid's like a billionaire. He's like born a billionaire and he's like killing himself. He like fell from all these like Steve Blackman threw him off like he's like, I don't know, 50 feet in the air off the Titantron or whatever. Like he went for it. So he like really earned people's respect as a wrestler. Insane. Which is cool. And that's kind of what makes McMahon's awesome. Is like Vince McMahon comes out, he puts on, he could just like rest on his laurels and collect checks at this point, but he's showing up the Raw and he's puts on a referee shirt with like sleeveless. He's got arms that like are fucking huge. I mean, he's all juiced up, but yeah.
Shane comes to my shows.
Shane comes?
No.
Oh, amazing.
I'm in Connecticut in a few weeks. Do you think he lives?
Greenwich, Connecticut?
No, I should do a show.
Norwalk? Were you in Norwalk? You're in Westport?
You know about that?
I just know I'm from the East Coast, so I just know all the.
I'm going to be in Mohegan Sun Casino. I think they had wrestling there.
Mohegan Sun. Yeah, they do some wrestling stuff there. That's cool. Mohegan Sun. Check out Taylor. What are the dates? Throw the dates out. I got a huge Connecticut fan base.
Really? I'm going to be in Connecticut at the 17th, 18th, 19th.
That's right. So don't go boating in the Long Island Sound. stay inside.
Yeah, don't do that. But wait, I don't know what city this is in, though.
Think of it.
Mohegan Sun, Connecticut. Hey, Shane McMahon, if you're listening, just drive out.
Yeah. We'd start a hashtag here.
Hashtag.
Trying to get Shane to come to your show.
Ooh, Uncasville.
Uncasville, Connecticut?
Uncasville.
Shane's not going there.
Ew, who needs that?
Do they have Rolls Royce parking there?
Uncasville. hashtag Shane, if you're listening, please come see me in Uncasville.
Shane, if you're listening, please come see me.
Hashtag
Shane, if you're listening, please come see me. Uncasville.
What a horrible name.
Uncasville?
Look at it. Uncasville.
Uncasville.
Sounds
weird.
Amy Schumer did the thing. I did the thing. There's that big, I'm doing the smaller one.
Yeah.
I did some America's Got Talent tour. There's like 5,000 people there.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was crazy. Oh, maybe what? The show is for people who, though, it was this variety show of all these crazy people.
Yeah.
It was insane. But it was all these, everyone in the crowd, it was like people who lost money and got free passes.
Oh, really?
Casino gigs are weird.
That is weird.
Like,
they'll be like, hey, you hear, you know, you lost money, you get to come to a show, so you'll come back.
So I was like, who's your loser, you're still a winner. I'm doing crowd work for 5,000 people. It was more than that, honestly. And who here lost money? Who lost most money? So it's like, $3,000. I'm like, oh, good for you. $10,000.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
And they got free passes. You just gave all your money to the casino. Good time.
Wow.
Casino gigs are weird.
Everyone's in like a bad mood.
They're weird because, like, you get paid flat rates at casinos, and then the crowd, even, like, I saw Don Rickles and Joan Rivers at a casino. The crowd is, it's high rollers and stuff.
Yeah.
You'll make more money at a casino gig than you will otherwise. Sometimes you'll make more money doing casino than you would make if every ticket was sold out at a theater.
Yeah.
Because the way they see it is they're paying people to come in, they're bringing in customers who had never been to the casino.
Yeah.
And they're going to spend money leaving and exiting.
Jamie's doing Harrow's in Atlantic City next weekend.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I did the other one. I did whatever the other thing is called.
Revel?
Where did I go? I could look it up.
You got to do some wrestling shows. You got to open up for a wrestling show. Sure.
I was going to get to open up for Mick Foley in San Diego.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
But then I was on American Got Talent at night. I got trapped out there. So,
right.
But I still feel weird mixing stuff. Like I'm trying to sell a show to the network.
Right.
That's not going well.
I think it's tough.
But I think they're being smart too. Is like
this is the most. I love it. We're getting Hollywood insight. No, that's okay. I think it's tough. I think it's tough to sell the network because a lot of things they do involves like their talent,
which I think is smart. I mean,
it is smart.
If you do a sketch comedy show with Edge and Christian or with me, why not with Edge and Christian?
Of course, we're all like, hey, let's do a sketch show on WWE Network. Like we all, I got like 10 treatments on that already.
I think they would be like the Jackass thing was smart they did, but that was smart. They're behind the scenes though. It was all wrestlers.
Yeah.
I think it would be smart to mix in slowly, like, people who have recognizability with the wrestlers. Because if you're bringing viewers who aren't wrestling fans,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know who's subscribed to WWE Network, who's never watched it, but look at the month subscription and try to check it out. Listen, if anyone's watching this podcast.
Yeah, this is visible.
I can see it.
Yeah. I'm gonna run through. Well, how do you feel about female wrestling?
You know,
are you into any of the divas? Into the divas revolution?
I'm all about it. I genuinely am all about it.
Any of
Nicole Bass is my favorite.
Nicole Bass.
I met China.
Oh, I saw. Wait, that's something I wanted to ask you. I saw a picture of you in China as your profile banner.
Good, good friend of mine.
You a good friend of China?
Yeah.
She. How's she doing?
She's doing great. Thank you for asking.
I don't think she's doing great.
Yeah, she is.
Is she?
She's making a documentary.
Are you actually friends with her? I'm believing this. Because I would just think she would...
Joni?
No. Joni? Yeah, that's what I was saying. Joni. I was like, I almost forgot her name for a second.
I met her when I was 12. That's the whole story.
Yeah, that's the whole story. But it's a good picture.
She was in a movie. I saw a movie she was in.
The porn movie? Yeah. That's amazing.
You know what's
they do talk about putting China in the Hall of Fame. It's like
that's never gonna happen.
No, but I think they'll put her in probably at like with DX. They'll probably put all of DX in the Hall of Fame.
I don't think so. I don't think they'd let her. Why? I mean, honestly, I mean, respect to China. Shout out. She
deserves it.
She does deserve it.
She does deserve it.
But I heard Stephanie or Triple H talking about this on some podcast thing. But like, I get it. Like, he's a parent. What does he say to his kids? You know?
Yeah.
I get that. They're like, give her a microphone. You know what I mean? I say send her one in the mail, maybe. Honestly.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah.
I genuinely think they should send her one. I don't blame them for not... There's a million people who deserve a Hall of Fame thing.
Yeah.
And there's no rhyme or reason. There's a million people
deserve it. She just deserves it. She's hard to overlook because she broke down like some serious boundaries for women in wrestling. Rather, you want to knock what she does now. I think it's her past. She had a great past. I think WWE doesn't help her. I think she deserves it. And I think they should give her a microphone. And maybe they can tell her, hey, you're not allowed to talk about this. You can only speak about that time, whatever. But ultimately, play her off, whatever. Turn off her microphone. You know,
and they put out Mr. T. That's right. They put out Mr. T, and he was just rambling.
Yeah. I mean, they did it to CM Punk, right? They turned off his microphone.
Yeah,
they could do it.
Okay.
Also, it only gets eyes in the product. I mean, they're going PG. They don't even broadcast the Hall of Fame ceremony. Is only on the network, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the network.
Only on we're watching.
Watching it. And like realistically, when you break it down, it's like they're worried about somebody watching that and being like, "Oh, I'm gonna Google her. She won the whole. I guess that's real. That is real. Kids have so much access to information. They'll just be like, "Oh, I didn't watch her during her era," and then type her in, and then the first thing that's gonna come up is One Night in China or whatever, right? That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Or like a night in China, or like China up the ass or some shit.
But X-Pac wasn't the same movie. There is double standard. That's just to this.
X-Pac is not in the Hall of Fame though, right? He will be for
DX. Oh, yeah.
He'll be for DX.
They'll put him in there. But there's double standard, but it's also because it's personal.
1-2-3 kid?
That's funny. They'll probably make it 1-2-3.
Because if they put him in as 1-2-3 kid, then it's like Google. Like, she had China in. It was called China. Like, the porn had the word China. You know what I mean? So I think that might be part of it.
The China joke?
They have. One of her shirts said that.
Vagina?
Yeah, something like that. I think she had a shirt that said Vagina.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember my mom bought me a Degeneration X VHS tape. Like a good mom, you know?
Yeah.
And then I watch it, and there's legitimately, on a WWE home video, there's boobs. Like, there's a whole thing of boobs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, flashing.
It used to be, Attitude Era was wild.
You get what I'm saying, though? It was like, it wasn't even just like, they showed fans lifting their boobs. They showed, like, in the audience, they showed, people in the street with DX fans, like, it was not a whole Girls Gone Wild tape, but there was like a whole bunch of boobs.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy compared to now, and also like our culture now. But then, in that time, that's why we were watching wrestling. Like, we were a bunch of like horny kids.
I was embarrassed. My mom was like, took away the Hurrah magazine.
And
I used to go to these bashes with my mom when I was a kid, because my friends wouldn't
go
with me. and like I'm seeing, like I'm just watching like pornography with my mom basically.
Yeah.
Like Sable, this bra and panties match next to my mother.
Yeah, I mean those bra and panties matches. I mean, are,
why
like,
was that ever a thing?
Well, that's the thing. So think about that time, the bra and panties match. Like it was like pretty hot, but even like you know, obviously like at that time it was like I was into it. I mean, like I bought like the Sable Playboy, I bought like the Channel Playboy. Like
did your dad buy it for you?
Yeah. One of my friend's dad like would like assume we want it and like got it for us.
And you're like,
I didn't even have to ask my like parents. Like we got it somehow, you know. Like one of my friend's dad was like the cool dad in that way.
And your mom's just like whatever.
He took us to like see Private Parts, like how it's movie, like shit like that, you know.
That's funny.
So before I forget, let's talk about women wrestling quick. So now, flash forward now, we have actually really good female wrestlers.
Yeah.
We're like, yeah, I was disappointed Becky and Sasha had a match this week. And I think like the general consensus was that it was like pretty weak and that like they're trying to figure out who's going to face off against Charlotte at WrestleMania. And like the thing I think they should do is just have Sasha Banks versus Charlotte and just one-on-one. Like Becky's not ready yet. She'll get her time, have her lose fair and square. But it feels like they're setting up for possibly to do like that three-way match, you know?
They already announced it.
Did they?
Yeah.
The three-way match?
Yeah.
They did announce it?
Yeah. Look at you. You have a whole podcast. You don't even know anything.
They did. They announced that? I was looking that up. I didn't see that. Well, if they announced that, that's good. I mean, it seems like what they're setting up for because they had that like draw finish where like it was the double pin, which was...
Online they announced it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're big on the online announcements.
I don't watch the show. I try not to get 5 hours a day reading about it, but I don't watch it.
You know what? I read. It's funny. I read so much. I'll read like the websites, but I try to avoid the spoiler stuff. So like, if I see a headline, I feel like it's a spoiler or something like that. I won't read it. I like to read about what I watched.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, so they're setting up for that. That three-way match, I think, is a mistake.
But it's nice that there's another person on the show. That's how I look at it from like a mom
perspective. Yes, too, but it's time to treat the Divas like not like they're shoehorning other wrestlers in. Like they always put the Divas in like a six-person tag match. Yeah. Or like last year was like the Bellas versus like Paige and AJ or whatever. You know, it's like
I think they're gonna have two women's matches.
Right, they'll have another women's match. That's fine, but there should be like one-on-one for the title, and it should be like this is a title match, and it should be in contention to be best match of the night. It could be best match of the night, even though it's a three-way match, but it won't. I think it has to be a one-on-one to get the recognition that they need. You know,
you hate women. I understand.
No, I respect women to an extent. You know, as much as I can, given what they're giving me, which is nothing.
Very, very.
Nothing. No.
Very, very.
That's it. I don't know. That's how I feel about it. But also, it's just cool we're in a place where we can call a female match bad. You know what I mean? You could be like, they could do better. Where there was a time where it was like, oh, I wouldn't even watch the female matches. I hated female wrestling, which was hard to explain to people because you're like, they're hot chicks.
Yeah. Right. I was pretty much the guy with the underwear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like it. The men, and my big complaint in wrestling is that the men should be more naked. Because I'm like, oh, this pants look so bad. He's got to go undies. Like, if you want to be pro, like, Roman Reigns wearing a fucking bulletproof vest is so stupid.
Yeah.
You got to put on the trunks. Sorry, man. You want to be a pro wrestler, you got to dress like that. It's part of the game. You just suck it up, you put on the trunks.
I worry about them getting like scabies and stuff, though. You know, like,
yeah.
Head, foot, mouth disease and stuff.
They definitely do get like all kinds of. It's definitely pretty gross.
It's crazy. Skin diseases.
Yeah, I mean, like staph infections are disgusting. Yeah. That's something they all get.
This is the chance for me.
Any other? Yes, yeah, so we got that. They're doing Bray Wyatt versus Lesnar at that Roadblock. At Roadblock.
Why?
I don't know. I guess I'm not sure what that is. That feels like that could have been a Mania match, Bray Wyatt is the most underused, worst booked wrestler in wrestling, by far. Last thing I'll say about wrestling, I have two things to say to you. One thing about wrestling is I think Dean Ambrose is killing it right now.
I think
Dean Ambrose, I wasn't that big a fan, but I think this thing of like being like the like he's like getting like beat up.
Yeah.
And then like asking for more, it really works.
But it's good he can lose and it still doesn't hurt his character.
No, I know. And he's like, and it makes sense to lose. He's like a lot smaller than these guys. He's like, even Triple H is like four times his size.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I mean, he should put on some muscle. Yeah. I'm very big on that. Like, go, you know, take a couple months off, shoot something in your ass, like whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Look like a pro wrestler.
Like you. Yeah.
You don't need to look like Ryback, but you need to like stand next to the guy you're fighting and look like a pro wrestler.
Right.
But anyway, Which is like bullshit. I know, like, people disagree with me hard, but yeah, Dean Ambrose is just, he's really killing it. He really is.
We're sponsored by steroids, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. Do them.
Do them.
Do them.
That's their slogan. Do them.
Are you excited for this WrestleMania?
I'm not.
Are you going to watch it or read about it? Are you going to watch it or read about it?
Well, I would watch it. I turned down a gig that weekend. So
to watch wrestling?
To
potentially go.
Yeah.
But well, if you're there, let me know. You want to come hang out.
My problem is I have an acquaintance. Very acquaintance. Good guy. Acquaintance.
Yeah.
Invited me to go and he has tickets. He's like, to come hang out.
Michael Cole.
it's like a guy I've hung out with once, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, come stay at my place and stay for a few days. I don't know him well. Kind of like a...
He's got tickets?
He's got tickets. He's an extra ticket. He's like...
Don't be a moron.
But I feel bad because my cousin, I promised him that I was like, I'll put my present to him and I would fly so I have to go out there. But then yeah. I'm like, oh, the tickets are so expensive and stuff, you know? And then I feel bad for this guy because I'm like, I don't know why this guy's offering me such a wonderful offer. But then I'm like, I want to bring my cousin, but he only has 2 tickets, you know?
Yeah. I think you should go at all costs, man. I think it's Mania. This isn't Fastlane. This isn't Unforgiven. This isn't Backlash. This
is a weekend.
This is WrestleMania. This is a big deal. At least this is a thing that we pretend is a huge deal. It's a day. This is a weekend for buying t-shirts you'll never wear. This is a weekend. Buying t-shirts that don't fit. Freakishly thick for no reason.
Not the best quality
t-shirt. Yeah. The match that you want to see is the Shane match?
Yeah, I'm genuinely excited about that. And the only match I'm genuinely excited about, the rest of it, I'm like, it's fun, it's cool.
Yeah.
But the match, I'm like, this is really cool.
I think Ambrose Lesnar is going to be like really great. And I think then Kevin Owens is going to kill it. Whatever he does at Mania, yeah. I think Mania he's going to pull out all stops.
Yeah,
because he's the IC champ, so he'll defend it. And the problem is Owens Ziggler could have been really great. It's just they drilled that match into the ground. They do it every week, every day, main event, whatever. It doesn't matter. Cool. This is my last question for you.
Okay? Yeah.
And then we'll wrap it up. You feel good?
Yeah. It's almost 4 o'clock and I didn't eat anything today.
Oh, I thought you got food before this.
No, I was running late and I didn't want to hold you up.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to die.
Last question is.
I might die right now.
I have to ask this because if I don't, I'm going to regret it. But what were your interactions like with Howard Stern at AGT?
He's a great man. I when I was a contestant, I had very, very few real life interactions with him. He was very kind the very few times we had. But then afterwards, I got to have some cool times with him. He's awesome.
After the show stopped?
There was a time when it was on camera. They filmed a whole thing of us, like the finalists, like having like a little party with the judges. It was for camera. Yeah. But I got like 15 minutes of one-on-one time with Howard. And then after the show, I was at Sirius Radio and I saw him for a minute. Yeah. And I was like, I saw Howard walk by just leaving his studio. Sirius is like, New York is crazy. There's no backstage entrances anywhere. I mean,
I've been in there and people say, you know, you just see Howard Stern.
I mean, so Howard and Ronnie walked out and I know them both. And I'm like, I fucking
love
them. Yeah, I love them. Yeah. It's kind of gay. Shout out to Ronnie. So by the time I walked by and I'm like, I know him. We know each other. He knows my name. He's talked to my mom, you know?
Yeah.
He's not my friend. But yeah. I know. So I was like, I know him well enough, and he's across the hallway to be like, Howard.
Yeah.
So I thought about it. I waited for the last second, but, hey, Howard. And he turned around, which I've later been told he doesn't do.
Yeah.
He stopped, and he started talking to me. And he was, hey, man, how you doing? Whatever. How things? He's like, what have you been up to? Whatever, you know? And I was just excited talking about
him. Yeah.
But then, like, this group of gentlemen, paint this picture for the story. It just like, it's a serious radio, this music stuff, whatever. A group of guys who are black, the kind of hip hop looking guys that now sound like Hulk Hogan. So it paints the picture, kind of guy.
Like Shade 45 dudes. Right? That's serious radio.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
You're probably Shade 45, that's the rap station.
So they see me, this like fucking like scrawny white guy, So then they came by. Hey, yo, what's up, man? And then I was like, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah. Somebody blew it for you. You actually got a Howard moment.
But then I saw him the next year. I went to hang out. I see him a few times, but he's really cool. I got to the wrap up show. I honestly think they'll have me on when I have something cool to promote. They're not gonna have me
on to
chill. But there's the message I got from Jason Kaplan, the producer.
Oh, yeah, I know Jason Kaplan.
Do you know him personally?
No, I just know them all from the show, you know?
But, like, I love, they're all great. They're all, the Hulk's crew is so sweet to me. And he's like, listen, everyone here loves you, but right now, we want to have you on the show. Right now, we're just booking A-list celebrities and retarded people, and you're like, and that's fair.
Yeah. Well, if you go wrestle, you might become
retarded.
A retarded person.
And I don't use that word, but I'm just saying it.
Yeah, that's okay. But we can do it. It's the internet. Taylor, thanks for coming. Go get some food.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Awesome.
I love wrestling. Check me out on MySpace.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to plug something?
At Taylor Comedy.
See you at...
I did a podcast once with Cole Cabana. Check it out.
On wrestling?
About my, he's on my podcast.
Oh, sweet.
I haven't posted in 4 years.
Is that true? You didn't post it?
I have not posted anything in 4 years, but he was on it.
4 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Awesome. And you can see you at Unksville.
Don't you mean Unksville?
TaylorWilliamson.com. And watch Professional Wrestling. You'll love it.